Morning, Gerald and Oscar. Thank you so much for visiting. You know, we have to behave ourselves when we have a guest here.
Oh!
No one's laughing. Oh, that's fine.
Oh,
okay.
You're supposed to.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and, before we start the film, Colette, I'm going to go ahead and pray.
Yes.
All right. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak before people, Father. I just pray that you give me the power that you know that I have to really communicate the word that you give to us. Pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
So we have a short 2-minute film here.
Gather ye rose, but while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Who knows what that means? Carpe diem. Seize the day. Very good, Mr. Meeks. Meeks. An unusual name. Seize the day.
Okay. Were you able to understand what they're saying? Okay, very good. So the title of the lesson today is called, is Carpe Diem, which means seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. You know, the definition of Carpe Diem, it says the origins of Carpe Diem, the Latin phrase, which literally means pluck the day, was used by the Roman poet Horace to express the idea that we should enjoy, right, life while we can.
Amen.
You know, my grandfather, he was a professor at Fairmont University. Show the next one. And when I see this photograph of him, I am inspired. And my grandfather is actually the one in the middle here, his arms crossed, his legs crossed here. And he has kind of a serious, defiant look on his face, like he's determined. And he was my inspiration. Even though I met him once, it's his legacy that inspires me. Why don't you show the next one? And he was such an influence in Fairmont that they actually named a hall at the university for him, right there, just to prove it. Says Cole Bank Hall.
Nice.
All right, and that's the photograph of it. It's been there in various forms for many years, and he really made his mark in the community. He might not have been great in the world, but he was great for his community, and that's what I hope for everybody here. You know, I listened to an interview recently with Tom Brady. And he talked about the obstacles that he faced while he was in the process of being the greatest of all time in quarterback. He didn't start playing football until he was a freshman in high school, and he didn't even know how to put his pads on correctly. You know, Brady became the second string quarterback in a high school team that lost every single game, and only became starter quarterback because the starter was just tired of being on a losing team.
Wow.
You know, colleges weren't like beating down the door to recruit Brady either. But eventually he was offered a quarterback position at Michigan as a seventh string quarterback.
Wow.
And I didn't even know they had that many quarterbacks at school. I'm just like, you, a couple more players and you got another team there. So at an early age, Brady knew the importance of work ethic and being around people, having mentors who strive for excellence.
Yeah.
You know, Brady's competitiveness was just developed over a period of time, and he sees any losses or setbacks just as opportunities, but most importantly, he never gave up. So to seize the great opportunities in life, one needs to know what's important in life. And we need to give to something that will last. We need to give ourselves to something that has this great people. We need to be part of something that's committed and driven to the same purpose. And there is no other greater purpose than to help others know their eternal Father. Amen?
Amen.
That's right.
You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 9 basically says that we work together as partners who belong to God. Verse 9 says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." Now, I find it nothing more enjoyable than just collaborating with people that have just a common value system with a common purpose. The family of God is this why He, our Father in heaven, created the earth. So what you need, what we all need, is a great purpose, great people that you connect with, and great opportunities.
Amen.
You know, we have all kinds of opportunities surrounding us, believe it or not, but we haven't been trained to fully see them. You know, when I was about 12 years old, I went rabbit hunting with this other 12-year-old, and he was a teammate of mine in Pop Warner football. And I mean, he was terrible at football. He hardly ever played, but he was really good at shooting rabbits. So his kid's eye was trained. Mm-hmm. He had been completely familiar with his surroundings, and his eyes would send signals to his brain, to his trigger finger, at lightning speed. It was like watching just like a wonderful symphony working together in harmony as one. It was trained artistry. Watching him shoot hundreds of feet away, it was amazing.
Amen.
Also, you need to know how to sift like flour for the opportunities. Like just like kind of like panning for gold. A sense, you need to sense and seize them. Finding great opportunities is like a skill that I've been trying to train myself to develop and learn, but many times things called fear get in my way.
Yeah.
So during this month that we are learning about opportunities, I want you to get a vision for the opportunities that surround you. During this life transition, you might surprise yourself by seeing something that just no one else sees. In Ephesians 5, verse 16, it says, "Making the most of every opportunity." And that's the command from on high. You know what I mean? We are to make the most of every opportunity. And if you continue with Ephesians 5, verse 16, it says, "In these evil days," and here we are, right? Now, I've heard it said that success is the management of opportunities. If you are not just proactive in finding and nurturing them, you're not going to be a success. And the problem is, it's not that we don't have the lack of opportunities here in Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
The issue is that we just don't see them. And if you don't sense them, and you don't examine them, and you don't sort them and sift them, you're not going to seize them. No, we are made, all of us here are made in His image.
Yes.
And we are born to be great. And not famous, but great.
Amen.
You need a great purpose, again, a great calling with a greater that's greater than yourself. You need to have great people to team up with. Then you need great opportunities so you can use what God has blessed you with.
Yeah.
You know, you will never be great living for yourself. I mean, anybody can live a self-centered life. In fact, most people do.
Yep.
In John chapter 14, verse 12 to 14, Jesus basically says that you will only do great things if you give your life away. Now, what can we learn from Tom Brady's interview? To be significant comes from just one's character. A great life is not because of great talent. Most people just squander their talent away. A great life comes from the great choices one makes. We really, I believe, live in epic times, don't you?
Yes.
Where it's just a great time to be alive, where we have these opportunities to do just incredible things, where our impact and will have eternal implications. Matthew 24, verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." You know, I think that history is coming to a climax, and now is the time we start being part of his family, part of his church, where people are committed to the same purpose. Where here, I think, in the Tri-County Church, we have the group that's committed to one purpose, and where we say this is going to be our family. We have an opportunity to belong to a small church where all hands are on deck, imagining all the opportunities that God has laid down before us. So there's six things that we can learn from opportunities. Mm-hmm. Number one, I must say no to good opportunities. Aww. To say yes to great ones. Now, sometimes opportunities could be like temptations or diversions or just like distractions that become like false idols that take away from our true purpose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse, this is the New Living Translation, verse 35, it says, "I am saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible." So it's like whether you're going back to school or taking that promotion or your yard work or volunteering or whatever, you need to discount the costs. We don't want our devotion to our purpose to be divided. So a good example of someone whose devotion became divided in the Bible is King Solomon. Some estimates, he may have been worth more than $2 trillion. And to obtain the wealth and power, he needed to compromise with people, which is fine, and with other nations, which is fine, but on the road to becoming ruler of all, he fell out of grace with the ruler of all. We don't want that for us. I mean, it's a tragic story, but it's a story that we can learn from. The human heart is fickle, and we need to protect it. And number two, what we can learn is every opportunity must be evaluated. You know, Numbers chapter 13, God commanded Moses to send one leader from each tribe to spy and see the land for its potential. Now, just why did he do that? He already said that, you know, they have been given the land, it was theirs. Even when God gives us opportunities, we need to evaluate the opportunity.
Amen.
There's questions concerning opportunity. What do I need? What do I need to know? And know it. I mean, getting all the input that you can about the opportunity. In Proverbs 18, verse 13, it says, "To answer before listening, that is folly and shame." Proverbs 15, 22. "Plans fail for the lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Proverbs 11, verse 14. "For the lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." So ask yourself, what might be the unintended consequences? And notice that great opportunities will have opposition. Yeah. You know, Nehemiah had opposition from his enemies, and David had opposition from people who you thought would be the most supportive. And John the Baptist faced opposition from two of the most powerful systems during that time, the religious system, the Pharisees, and the monarchy, King Herod. And John the Baptist did not waver in preaching repentance to people. So if you are a Christian, let's say, you will be met with opposition. So opposition should be something that we embrace, knowing that just at the other side, we will become stronger. Amen. And number three, what we can learn, opportunities come when we least expect them. Right. You need to always be ready for the opportunities that God will be putting before you, ready to respond to a particular situation. I mean, are you too busy that you don't see the opportunity? If you are not ready to prepare that when the time comes, I mean, you are caught flat-footed. You're taken off guard. You will not be able to take advantage of it. It helps me to start the day on the right foot. You know, it helps prepare me for that given day. It helps me to prepare mentally. We need to develop alertness so we can receive great opportunities. That will help us expect the unexpected. Now, it's like, for example, like receiving a punt return. You should be aware of your surroundings so we can make it to our destination. I have a short clip here.
Where are they going to punt? Well, this is where we come into play. Let's get the punt return team out there, and let's get the receiver to receive a punt. The ball is snapped. The punter has it in his hand. You're using your eyes to watch the punt off his foot. Once the ball goes in the air and it takes flight, you need to put yourself in position to make the catch. Elbows up, in tight. We do not want the elbows to go flaring out, because now the basket that you have created has a hole in it. So let's close up that hole. Elbow stays in tight, the ball comes down, and you want to trap the ball in between your body and your forearms. Squeeze it tight with your hands. Your movement, once the ball is punted, is very important. You have to put yourself in position to catch the ball. Once the ball is punted off the punter's foot, and if it tails to the right, you need to plant on the outside foot, open up 45 degrees, and get depth. Once the ball has tracked to its highest point, and you see it at its highest point, there, you put yourself behind the ball. And on the way down, you move forward towards the ball, catching it against the breastplate, trapping it with your hands and your forearm, and
make a touchdown.
Amen.
Now, I might be showing my age. Gerald and Oscar, do you remember the Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom by any chance? Right before the Magic World of Color?
I remember that.
Remember that? Oh, okay. Well, the show came on right before Disney, and Jim, one of the co-hosts, always gives the animal that has been captured and tagged kind of like a swift kick in the behind, making sure that the animal is sent in the right direction. That's what we all need in the morning, a swift kick in the seat of the pants, and that kind of comes with focusing and meditating on God's word each morning to nurture and grow our relationship with our Father. Amen. To develop the opportunities instinct. It will give your disposition a sense of like optimism that will be just more attractive to others to position yourself. So in the morning, we should be leaning into his word. And when you do, you might hear a voice. Carpe diem, seize the day, make your life extraordinary.
That's right.
Right? Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 21 and 26. All who made themselves clean and evil will be used for who make themselves clean from evil will be used for special purposes. They will be made holy, useful to their master, ready to do any good work, but run away from the evil young people like to do. Now, if we leave the house just with a pure, cleansed heart, God will increase our chances of seeing opportunities where they might have been none. And number four, I must stay flexible. Now, when God has opportunities for our life, and in my life, we need to remain flexible, ready to change and turn on a dime. Sort of like Gumby. Y'all remember Gumby?
Yeah.
Okay, he was flexible, I'm not. But for example, if we need to change from, this is a small example, one venue from another, don't think of changes as an inconvenience or that you are just going along to get along, but put your faith in him so you can be readily available for the opportunity to, say, encourage, to serve, to reveal a hidden talent, or perhaps maybe a sin, or develop an area of weakness. In Galatians 5, verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. God's word will help us anticipate with confidence and stay in step with the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, speaking of staying in step, I have another short video. And this one, I think the women will like this one. Dancing. So why don't you go ahead and show that, Richard?
Leading is asking and then seeing what I kind of get out of it, right? So I'm never forcing her to do anything ever. I'm always kind of making a strong suggestion, and hopefully she comes along with me too. Because if you think your job is to force the other person to do what you want, then that doesn't give them any flexibility, it doesn't make them feel comfortable at all, and it's not the best idea, right? Because if I push with my hands or I try to move her instead of me, the timing is also off too, right? If I want to walk forward and I push her first and then I want to go walk afterwards, we're out of sync because I went to go move my partner and lead her and I didn't move myself. Where our timing is perfect. If I just move myself and I walk into her, she feels that and starts to take it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same for any direction.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I just want to talk about really quick, he said all amazing things, is this right here, this position, this practice position, is going to be the same regardless of the hole that we're in. We'll explain in different positions. But this is going to be called our common center, which means that we share this position here. So I, as a follower, I'm equally responsible for holding this position. So he could be doing all the right things, and as the follower, I could be letting everything go, I could be moving around, and then it kind of ruins his lead. So we have two parts to play here. Both are equally responsible for holding the position, so just remember that. Okay, so that being said, what Chris also means is he did a good job of demonstrating it forward and back. So a lot of times, side to side, for example, he's not going to go like this, like a blinker. He's just going to keep everything where it is and take me with him, basically. And it's my job to do my best to not shift in and out of this position. I'm going to try to move myself, my spine, with him and try to keep this common center equally with him. So there's no blame on either person. Takes two to tango. All right, everything's a translator. So just remember that.
Right.
Okay, so for taking.
That's good. All right, so you see opportunity as a partnership. So when, say, preparing yourself to meet lady opportunity, one needs to just be flexible. By preparation, we gain better instincts and be able to anticipate lady opportunity's next step. You know, people who are serious about training know the importance of stretching to become flexible. An actor that takes his or her craft seriously knows not only their lines, but the other character's lines as well. Once you know your lines well, the art of improvising and being flexible will help you become secure in your abilities and you will succeed.
Amen.
You know, you're never too old. I keep on telling myself, Scott, you're never too old to be flexible and seek and find great opportunities. It wasn't until the age of 80 that Moses led God's children out of Egypt. And number five, every opportunity will have opposition. Everything you try to do against the status quo will be opposed to it.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it will be people that you're closest to. It may be like your parents. They're like, who do you think you are? Or your wife? Who do you think you are? Or maybe a lifelong friend? Who do you think you are? Satan doesn't want you to make a positive impact on the world. He doesn't. Satan loves the status quo. Nothing would make Satan happier than a person sitting at home watching reruns of I Love Lucy or making a millionth entry on social media where they make very little impact at all. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. There is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. So opportunity plus opposition equals God's will. If you can't not find anyone that opposes your idea, most likely, I mean, there's a good chance that it's not from God. You will find the ones who are criticized the most, whether it's in the Bible or the people in church or the churches themselves, are the ones that make the most impact, the ones that really make a lasting impact.
Right.
Satan doesn't want you to become a great woman or a great man. Satan loves the insignificant, the ones who just squander their lives just on nonsense, on things that just do not matter. Remember, the pioneer are the ones that get the arrows in the back. We must not be afraid to just rock the boat if Jesus is our captain. And if you are going to walk on water, you need to get out of the boat. You need to be willing to take a degree of risk and criticism and leave your safe space.
Amen.
And lastly, great opportunities bring great responsibilities. Now, the Spider-Man movie says great power, but you know, I gotta use Spider-Man. So to claim ownership of something, you see the fruits of your labors bring great satisfaction, doesn't it? Whether it's your job or some other business pursuit or helping to prepare, say, like a wedding, but you will be judged. You will be judged. Those are the rules of the world. If we go out on a limb, there is a chance the limb will break and you will fall. And if you fall and you don't get up, it's called failing. Maybe you don't get up right away. Maybe there will be times that the height and the impact is so great and that you will be scarred and bruised and stunned to try again. But we are all sons and daughters. We're all sons and daughters that seize the day, and we eventually dust ourselves off and try again so we can succeed and grow. In Luke 12, verse 48, to whom much is given, much will be required, and to whom much is given, even more will be expected from them. Now, one day we will be standing before God, and he will ask, what did you do with what I provided for you?
That's right.
What will your answer be? God will say, did I give you all these blessings so you could be comfortable? I mean, are you kidding me?
Wow.
Are you kidding me? God expects more to those who he blesses more. And sometimes God will place you where he needs to intervene. See his intervention as the greatest opportunity. God be the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.